Amen. Hallelujah. Were you ready for the word this morning? Let's say our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. If you're new to us, we've been doing this verse for about 3 years. The Lord gave it to me. I was talking to him one time, and I was looking at a Jerry Savelle poster, and he has a thing up on the, every year God gives him a word for the theme of the year. And I said, God, you've never done that for me. I believe in them, but it's like you've never really given us a theme, and he just gave this into my spirit. And we have seen literal miracles come out of this. We have seen people's lives change and transformed by hanging onto this verse. So this is very crucial. It's not just a ceremony. It's not just something we do, but I want to get this word on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. We're talking about the operating in the gifts of the kingdom or operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tie that into the kingdom because the kingdom operates by the gifts of the Spirit. And when you talk about the fragrance that He anoints us to bring out the fragrance of His knowledge in every place, the fragrance is whether, let me say it like this. We all have a fragrance. It's either the world or Christ. That's your fragrance, one or the other. A mixed fragrance is a fragrance of the world. Okay, but to have a fragrance of Christ is special. When you meet somebody and you just start talking to them and you just got this feeling they're a believer. Not just a churchgoer, they're a believer. They're a like kindred spirit. And you know that on the inside before you ever begin to get into too much. Well, that's because they're giving out a fragrance. And you're inhaling that fragrance and you just know these people are believers. Hallelujah. So some of the things that we've been talking about, to skip over a long introduction, go to 1 Corinthians 13:13. We're going to spend a little bit of time here, then we're going to move on to some deeper things. But 1 Corinthians 13, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Because everybody always wonders, the gifts of the Spirit are laid out in chapter 12, and then chapter 14, he begins to talk about the gifts of the Spirit even more and gives us more detail. And so many people wonder, well, why did he insert chapter 13 in the middle of those two? Because chapter 13 appears as though it doesn't, and there's no chapters in the Bible when it was originally written. There's no such thing as chapters. But chapter 13 seems to be a parenthesis in the description and the working of the gifts of the Spirit. But 13 tells us how these gifts operate. And we went over the description of love that's in chapter 13, but I want to start in chapter 13, verse 13. He says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, because the gifts of the Spirit operate by love. There's faith, there's hope, there's love. But if you're going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, we've got to learn how to flow in the love of Christ. Amen? If you're really going to flow correctly and properly in the Spirit, you've got to learn how to flow in the love of God. Now, that's not your love for God, that's God's love for you. You've got to be grounded and rooted in God's love for you. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:11. This is the last verse we gave last week. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we began to talk last week, and I want to just touch on this a little bit as we move launch out from here. But when we're children, we're self-centered. When we're children, we're babies. And the word children here is an infant. It's not a teenager. It's an infant. It's a child that is unable to take care of itself. And those kind of children, we love them. I told earlier how I love little babies. But they're a mess. They dirty their diapers. And they just expect you to clean them up. And you don't mind too much. But when they're 10 years old, you don't want to be doing this job. We call it potty training. You teach them where to go, how to clean themselves up, how to flush the waste away. You teach them basic things of how to get along. And as our children get older, we expect them to mature in certain areas. We all mature at different rates, at different levels, but you expect them to grow up. The problem is, a lot of Christians have never grown up. Oh, I'm preaching good now. A lot of Christians, we're still acting like little babies. He says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I thought everything's about me. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, I changed my way of thinking and I took on responsibility. I began to think of myself differently than a little child that everybody else has to wait on. Now, understand, God wants us to mature in Him. He wants us to grow up in Christ, to grow up in the Spirit of God. It's not just getting older physically that matures you. It's growing up relationally with God and with men. And I'll tell you something. If you don't learn how to grow up in God, your relationship with people is strained. It really is. You know, I've known pastors that are highly educated in philosophy, highly educated in psychology, and you know, they can even be professional counselors, but they're jerks. I'm trying to be nice to them, but it's like, but they don't know love. All they know is the formula. All they know is all these things, but a lot of them don't know the love of God for them. All they have is head knowledge, and love is meant to be experienced, not studied. Okay, go to, we're leaving 1 Corinthians, but go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me show you this of how Paul approaches it in Ephesians. In chapter 3, verse 14, this is how important love is. Because when I grew up in church, we always had a series every year on love, and it was sappy. And it was, I can say that because it was my dad that preached it. And it was just, oh, you got to love one another and all this stuff. But if you don't know the love of God, how can you love another? How can you really love people? The Bible says, how can you love people if you don't love God? Because we see people, but you don't see God. He says, it's impossible to love people unless you love God, whom you can't see. It's impossible to love the people that you do see. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. See, our might comes by His Spirit in our inner man. That's not your soul. The inner man of our spirit being. That Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that's your soul, through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That, now listen, say, oh yeah, we know all about love. No. Verse 19, that you would know, experience, tangible experience of the love of God, love of Christ, which passes knowledge. This love passes knowledge. I know my mom and dad sent me down, Gordon, you've got to love this kid. That means you don't steal his toys. Because my parents wouldn't buy soldiers for me. And I always wanted soldiers. I worked for 3 years to get a Fort Apache. It was tough going, I'm telling you. And our neighbor had toy soldiers. And he would just kind of waste them and throw them out. When I found them, I knew who they belonged to. I had a secret drawer where I put them. And I collected his toy soldiers in that drawer. And one day, Dad came out, and he was looking for something in the garage, and he pulled open my secret drawer. I had to give all those toy soldiers back. Because he knew they didn't belong to me. So I got a lesson on love. But I love those toy soldiers. You know, we always seem to love what we can't get. Amen. You know, we lust after, we covet it. And it's like, oh my goodness. So, but that's not the love he's talking about here. He's talking about that you would know, experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. See, I got a lesson on love, but you cannot teach love. Casey Treat said it like this years ago, and it took me years to begin to understand this. He said, vision is caught, not taught. See, I don't like that, because when I'm a teacher, because I'm a teacher, I love to teach you things. And if I teach it once, you should get it. Like a steel trap, you should just latch onto that, because I've taught it. It took me years to understand that I can teach about love, I can teach about faith, I can teach about all these things till the cows come home, but until you catch it, it's just useless knowledge. You can go through all the formulas, go through all the quotes, all the confessions, but you've got to catch this stuff on the inside of you. See, vision, to understand who you are in God, it doesn't come out of books, even though books express it. Because I'm not putting down education, I'm not putting down studying to show yourself approved, but I'm saying there comes a time when you've got to catch what's on the written page. You've got to catch what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I've got to catch that. I read it for years before I caught it. That all things are possible for him who believes. I read it for years. I had to catch that on the inside of me. Faith catches things. It holds on to things. It believes all things against hope. It believes, it stands for these things, but I had to catch those things. In the same way, I've got to catch the love of Christ, because I cannot educate myself in the love of God. Debbie loves me, and I know she loves me. How do you know she loves you? Well, she tells me every day. Not. She doesn't tell me every day she loves me. Sometimes around noon, she'll look at me, oh, by the way, I love you. I said, well, I love you too. I've been waiting for this. No, I don't do that either. But see, my knowing that she loves me cannot be based on whether she tells me she loves me. Because I can tell anybody I love you. Amen. It's just words. How do I know that my wife loves me? Because I know my wife. How do I know that God loves me? Oh, John 3:16. No, how do you know that God loves you? There's only one way. You know God. Once you know God, you know he loves you, because the Bible tells us God is love. So if I know God, I know his love because I know him. Okay? Now, here it says that we would know. See, this is a great mystery. That we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Listen, that you may be filled with all, say all with me, the fullness of God. Well, brother, I just don't believe it that way. Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, now, my grandpappy taught me. I don't care what your grandpappy taught you. The Bible knows more than your grandpappy. My dad was a pastor. I can tell you most of what my dad knew. The Bible knows more than my dad knew. Hello? It knows more than you do. I learned a long time ago, when I contradict the Bible's right and I need to get in line with it. And that means sometimes I've got to change my attitude. I've got to change what I thought I knew. Because if it doesn't line up with Scripture, I'm wrong. But if I line up with Scripture, I can be filled with, say it with me, all the fullness of God. Ooh. Now that'll make you chill, or your blood boil, or something. It's like, God, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why? Because God lives on the inside of me. Well, how do I get God from living on the inside of me? How do I get him out? Well, you've got to know the love of God. You've got to go beyond learning it and reading books about it to where you let God love you. How do I let God love me? I asked God one time, because I'm praying, and I'm a deep prayer, and I'm praying, and I told God, Lord, I bless you. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, I bless you. And all of a sudden, the question came up to me, how can I bless God? He's got everything. What do I have that God needs? I don't have nothing that God needs. There's not a single thing in me that God needs. Nothing. Nothing. I'm thinking, Lord, how can I bless you? And he said, by living for me. By giving your life over to me. That blesses God. So now when I say, Lord, I bless you because, Lord, I choose to serve you. I choose to walk with you. I choose to receive your benefits. I choose to let your word fill me up and consume me and let your word be real to me. God, if you said you love me, I receive that and I accept it even though I don't even begin to understand it. But God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you love me. God, that you are a blessing to me, God. I thank you, Lord, you came into my life to live and make your home in me. I can get excited about this stuff. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. It's rich. It's deep. It'll keep you going for weeks, months, years, for a lifetime. God loves me. See, I'm not dependent upon you loving me. I hope you do. But I am sustained by the love of the Father for me because he calls me son. And he calls you son. Yeah, but I'm a girl. No, no, no. Son is a positional term, not a sexual term. Son is position. You are my son. You are my joint heir. You are the one that I have endowed everything to you. And we're all sons in that respect. Everything that the Father has, he has given to Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, I give it all to you. Oh, man, I could preach on that just right there for a while. But see, this is the love of the Father. When you begin to understand that love, man, it begins to fill you with the fullness of God himself. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? We may be filled with the fullness of God. Now, 1 John 4:8 says this. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, I can't love apart from the love of God. Without knowing that God loves me, it's impossible for me to love on that kind of a level. You know, my natural love is if you're good to me, I'll be good back to you. But you cross me one time, it's over. That's natural love. You know, you have men and women tell each other all the time, I love you. And what they mean is I love you as long as you're good to me. But it's not about their love for others. It's about whether or not you like me or accept me, or as children, you let me have my way. Have you ever had a child turn to you, I don't love you, or you don't love me? Have you, anybody, I've had children do that. I've had adults do that. Do you know God has had people say that to him? God, you don't love me. How wrong can you be? God loved you before you were born. 2,000 years ago, he sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for your sin, and your parents hadn't even thought about you yet. And their parents hadn't thought about them, and their parents hadn't thought about them. It goes a long way back. And the Bible tells us God loved you at that time. He died for you 2,000 years ago, knowing the mess you were going to inherit, knowing the things you were going to walk into. And he has already forgiven you of your sin, cleansed you of unrighteousness. But my part is to accept what God has already done for me. I'm receiving his love. If I can accept God's forgiveness for me, it makes it a whole lot easier to forgive you. Amen? To forgive others. Because I understand what God forgave me of. And I tell you, if I told you my testimony, most of you would laugh. Most of you have already heard it. I'm not going to go through that. You'd laugh, say, Gordon, you haven't done anything. You've been a good kid all your life. Yeah, according to the world, according to God, I was going to hell. According to God, if I didn't believe in him, no matter how good I lived in this natural life, I was going to hell. Why? Well, do you believe God sends anybody to hell? I don't believe God sends anybody to hell. You're already going. Jesus died to keep you from going in that direction. He came to die that you could turn around and repent and be adopted into another family, that he could fill you with himself, that you would know him so you would live above the conditions of this earth. Amen? Good time to shout. Woo! Yes, hallelujah! See, agape love is spiritual. Agape love opens the door to the supernatural because you are walking in the love of God. Again, he who does not love does not know God. If I don't love, I don't know God. Now, isn't that an indictment? If I don't love, I don't know God. Because God is love. That's what the scripture says. Love activates the gifts of the Spirit. Now, going on to John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by our love one for another, by the love that we know from Jesus, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The world will know we're disciples. We will know we're disciples. Other believers will know we're disciples if we love one another the same way that Jesus Christ loved us. Well, how can you do that if you don't understand the love of God? If you don't understand what Jesus has done, how can you love people? How can you love other people? How can people see the love of God in you if you don't know the love of God? We played with a Debbie and I like golf, if you don't know that. We enjoy golf. It's recreation. It's a getaway. It's an escape. It's relaxation for us. It's a blessing of God for us. But we played with this one guy. Every time he had a bad shot, he'd hit himself in the head. Dummy. Just slam his head with his hand every time. Dummy. And I'm just thinking, well, you are what you say. You know, and it's just like, he was a believer. Well, he was a Christian. And if you would ask him, is he born again? Yeah, I'm born again. Well, why are you a dummy? Do you think that God would say, well, you missed that golf shot, you must be a dummy? See, if God would say that, it is. Amen? It is. He is a dummy. Because God said he was a dummy. Aren't you glad God says, you're my child? You have the mind of Christ in you. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I have set you as authority over all and given you dominion over all the earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus and turned around and gave it to the disciples, and we still walk around going, dummy. Stop it. So you don't know the love of God. That's the problem. You don't know and understand the love of God. You don't know what Jesus has done for you. That's why you have that attitude toward ourselves, because we really don't understand the love of God. Because if you did, when you mess up, oh God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you, God, your love for me is not based on my golf performance. Amen. I thank you, God, your love for me isn't even dependent on whether I'm a good person or not. But I want to be good because I want your love to flow through me. But praise God, he loved us when we were yet sinners. Amen. He did all that thing. Now, I've got to say something really important here, and it's kind of a leap into the next phase I want to go into in this. But this love that by which we are known or should be known, it's not how others love you. It's how you love others. See, we want to base, again, children base their love. You love me if you do what I tell you to do. You love me if I get my way. Because my parents wouldn't buy me a Ford Apache, I never said, well, you don't love me. Their love had nothing to do whether I got a Ford Apache or not. I wanted the Ford Apache really bad. I had to work. Things I did, trying to put it before them. You know, every time the Christmas catalog came out, boy, look at this. This would be really cool. You know, I'd bring it before them. I'd have it at the breakfast table. Wow, this is really great. And I kept begging and pleading. You know, it's kind of like going to the unjust judge. Did I say that? But I never based their love for me on whether they got me what I wanted, because I knew my mom and dad. I knew they loved me. I knew they were still learning how to parent. But I never questioned their love. You understand what I'm saying? They're still growing up. I'm only their second kid. You know, so one out of two, or two out of two, second out of two? Yeah, that's right. But so many people, they base this love on whether other people love them. And when you get into that, you start manipulating people. It's so easy to fall into that pattern. You manipulate people. Do you love me? Children do this. Mommy, do you love me? Because mommy, if you really love me, mommy, would you get this for me because you love me, mommy? And they put a guilt trip on you, and all of a sudden it's like, man, I don't want my kid to think I don't love him. I'd better get this for him. It's like, if that's your basis for love, you can have all this stuff in the world and still never know that they love you. It's not based on gifts. It's based on a relationship. And so many Christians are manipulating people because I won't love you until I get my way. No, the answer to this is it's about how you love others. How do you respond to others when you don't get your way? I had a person come to me years ago, and they said, Gordon, I keep making all these suggestions to you about what I think we ought to do in the church. I said, I know. Well, you haven't done any of them yet. I said, I know. Well, why not? I said, I don't agree with them. Their mouth fell open. What? You don't agree with me? No. They never asked why. I could have told them why. They didn't want to know. You disagree with me? Well, who do you think you are? I think I'm the pastor. I think God is going to hold me responsible for the church, not you. Hello? I've had people come to me and say, I'm glad, Gordon, I'm so glad you're the pastor. I wouldn't want your job. I understand it. Sometimes I don't want my job either. But there's a difference between a job and a calling. So if God calls you, there's no change. It doesn't vary. If it's a job, I could go someplace else and get more money. Amen? At least I hope so. Now, those of you that know our story, there's a long story behind all of that. But it's like, but it's a calling. And see, God has called us to love one another. Listen, even as Jesus loves us. So if we're going to walk in the love of God, it's not whether everyone likes us or everyone loves us. The question is, do you love other people the way that Jesus loves you? When I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. I behaved like a child. When I grew up, when I became a man, I put away childish things. God wants us to grow up. Why? Because he wants you and me to experience all the fullness of God in you. And as long as you keep operating as a child, he cannot do for you what you want him to do for you because you're resisting him. Do I need to amplify that a little bit? So many of us operate out of our hurts. So many of us operate out of our past, out of our failures, out of our disappointments, out of our discouragements. We operate it out of our wounds. And when you do that, you're acting as a child. And there comes that time when you've got to grow up. Your mama may not have loved you. Your dad might have beaten you. Your dad might have raped you. There's an awful lot of that going on. I'm just amazed every time I hear it because my dad would never have done that, either one of those. But my dad messed up on other ways. I'm not going to go into that now because you don't need to know. But there were things that Dad and I had major conflicts over. I knew he loved me, but I didn't like how he treated me. And I had to grow up and get over some things and had to forgive him before I could move on. And one time I thought I had dealt with Dad. I thought I had everything under the table. I thought it was all cleared off, and you know, I had dealt with it. And this one guy in church, just, how do I say it? He kept provoking me. And as I got provoked, I would lose my temper. And I came home one night after a meeting, and I'm complaining to Debbie. She's a good therapist. You know, she either tells me what I ought to do or she just hits me over the head, straightens me out. You know, sometimes I have a mental disconnect and she's got to make sure all those connections work. And she said something to me that was so profound. She says, "You're reacting just like you used to your father." And all of a sudden it just became real to me. I am. I'm operating to him out of my past wound with my father. I thought I was healed. I thought I'd gotten over it. But that wound was so deep in there that I was still acting out of my relationship with my dad rather than dealing with the situation. Well, now, long story short, what happened in that was he would provoke me. I would react in the flesh. And then he would say, "Well, see, I told you Gordon's like this." And then that would justify him in front of everybody else. And everybody else would say, "You're right, Gordon does have a few issues." Bright light. You know, like, I do have issues, just like you have issues. But love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Love loves even though you know the weaknesses of people. Now, I know I only have one or two of them, but you've got enough love to cover those up. That's a joke for all those on tape. But when I went back into the next meeting, I dealt with that issue with my father, and he tried to provoke me again. I didn't bite. The look of confusion on his face, I mean, it just destroyed his credibility because I didn't respond to him. But see, now, why did he do that? He was doing those things because his love was based on how you loved him, and so he became manipulative to try to move things around to his way to justify himself. Now listen, love covers a multitude of sin. There are areas of pastoring I am not good at. There are areas I need other people to do things because I am not strong or gifted in that particular area. But so many people come in, and I'm trying to think of a really nice way to do this. "I have a gift." Fine. Well, why don't you let me use the gift? So, one, I don't know you yet. See, the question is, and this is a question we all have, can I trust you? See, this is a question God has when he has gifts to give to us. Can he trust you? Because if he gives you gifts, they'll destroy you and destroy the people around you if you don't learn how to operate the gift. And I'm not talking about the specifics of a gift of pastor or apostle or prophet or teacher or evangelist. I'm not talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. I'm not talking about those things. If you don't learn how to operate in love, whatever gift you have, you will end up misusing it and hurting yourself and others because you're not learning how to operate that gift properly. Does this make sense? See, if I'm going to pick on Bonnie because so far we don't have any issues. So far. but if I would just come at her out of a wound that I have and I address you out of my wound, you're looking at me going, "What? Where is he coming from?" Because, see, you don't know all the history I'm bringing into this thing. Well, at that precise moment, she doesn't have the time or the inclination to counsel me. What is she going to do? She's going to reject me. Why is she rejecting me? Now, notice, she's not rejecting my gift. She's rejecting my flesh. Do you catch that? When people get up, and this is a normal thing when people leave church. Well, they just didn't accept my gift. No, the gift wasn't the issue. The flesh is the issue. Let me give you, I'll close here, but I'm going to give you something to think on. Let's go to 1 Timothy. I'm jumping ahead here, but in my notes, but 1 Timothy. Oh, you'll love this. This is really good. 1 Timothy, because I got 2 minutes to do this in. I can do this in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. It says, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." And we go through that list, and you say, well, yeah, the law is there for the ungodly, but, you know, I'm not a fornicator, I don't do sodomy, I don't kidnap, I don't lie too often, I don't perjure myself, I'm not a murderer, I'm not unholy, I'm not profane. But listen, the one of the first things it says in there, for the lawless, that means without restraint or insubordinate. So insubordinate is just, I'm going to do it my way. Now, I'm not talking, just so you know, I'm not talking about any particular issue. There's no issues in church, okay? But we're just talking. If a ministry gift comes in and says, I want to help you, I expect them to help me, not make problems. Okay? If they make problems, there's a flesh issue. They're insubordinate. Because remember what I said about the gifts operate by love? Debbie and I were talking about this the other day. Because I love Debbie, you could say I'm submitted to her. Because I love her, I want to please her. Because I love her, I want to do things right so that she's not ticked off at me. Okay? There's certain ways Debbie likes to do certain things. I have learned over the course of, 44 years of marriage, I've learned it's easier to just learn how she needs it to be done to satisfy her than it is for me to rebel and do it my own way. It's just easier. It still gets done. I'm not put out, but I've learned how to minister to her by doing certain things in that she will accept and she'll rejoice in. And she's learned some of those things about me too. So I'm submitted to her because I love her. I don't love her because she does everything the way I like it to be done. Did you catch that? See, in natural love, I'll love you as long as you do what I want you to do. There's times she doesn't do that. Now, she still loves me, but she just, I'm not doing it that way. Now, if we love God, we're going to do it His way, right? Got that comparison? If I love God, I'm going to do it His way. I'm not going to say, well, God, I know you want it done this way, and you've spoken by your Spirit, you've spoken to me by a prophet, and Lord, you've spoken to me by your Word of God, but I'm not comfortable with that. I want to do it my own way. How does that show that I love God? In the same way, if people say, well, I have this ministry gift, but I'm telling you how I want this gift to work, you're not a blessing. You've just created a problem because you're going to do it your way. And it'll cause an irritation in the body of Christ because whether we want to be or not, we are suddenly at odds with one another. And it's just a flesh thing. It's not a gift issue. It's not an anointing issue. It's a flesh issue. So to sum this up, if we're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, if we're going to operate in the flow of God properly, we've got to understand God loves me. If I know God loves me, it makes it easier for me to work with other people because I don't have to prove myself to you or to me because I know who I am. And most of this, we'll give you more scriptures next week, but most of this comes out because we're insubordinate. Well, why are we insubordinate? Because we don't know the love of God. Because we're pursuing things in the flesh that God has given to us in the Spirit, but we won't receive it in the Spirit. We want to do it in the flesh. And we wind up doing right things for wrong reasons, and we don't get the results that we think we ought to get because we're not doing it in love. We're doing it we're doing it for ourselves. We had a song leader years ago. We were still in the fire hall. She said, "Oh, I want to lead music. I want to be up there because, man, it's so good. You guys are up there and you're just loving Jesus and the Holy Ghost comes in. Man, this is just awesome. This is just wonderful." We said, "Okay, come work with the worship team." She worked with the worship team. She said, "I really want to be a leader. I really, really want to lead the congregation." So we said, "Okay, this one Sunday, we practiced the songs, got her ready. This one Sunday, we're going to let you lead praise and worship." Spirit of God came. God blessed us. After church, "I'll never do that again. Did you see how those people looked at me? They hated me. They didn't like anything I did up there at all." So it was just normal church. So you ought to stand up here sometimes and look at yourself. You know, we're leading by faith. We're singing by faith because... You know, I mean, you know, it's just all kinds of, any attitude you can think of, it appears. But yet at the same time, because we know you, it's like some of you just aren't singers. So you just fold your arms and, you know, just kind of okay. But every now and then I catch you, your head's nodding to the beat or your foot's tapping or something. We had one person several years ago, he said, because... when we would sing praise and worship, he'd hold on to the back of the pew. I mean, hold on to the back of the pew. And I asked him one time, I says, "You need to just raise your hands up sometime. Just try it. If you've never done it before, just try it." He goes, "Gordon, I'm afraid to." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I'm hanging on the back of the pew because the presence of God is so strong." He said, "I just want to throw my hands up in the air, and if I do, I'm going to lose control, and I don't know what's going to happen." I thought, that's the point. To get you out of yourself and into God. Sometimes you've just got to let go and go wild. For some people, wild is holding up a hand. You know, it's like, "Whoa, man, I am really an extreme worshiper today. I held up one hand or I held up two hands. I was really wild. They wanted to put me out of the church because well, not here we don't." But it's that prior experience sometimes of, "I got too loud and they didn't like it," or "I did this and they didn't like it." See, if we learn how to operate in love, we know that God loves us. It's easier to flow. It's easier to be a help rather than a hindrance because in love, our goal is to please one another. Children always want it their own way. Amen. You get something out of this? We don't want to be insubordinate. We don't want to be like children. We want to grow up in the things of God. And I'll tell you, I got this reverse for a long time. Final closing. I got this reverse for a long time. John Maxwell always said, if you help somebody else fulfill their dreams, God will fulfill your dreams. And I heard that wrong. And for years I practiced it wrong. Because I thought my goal as a pastor is to help you fulfill your dreams. And I found out over 25 years, that doesn't work. Because if I help you fulfill your... Now listen carefully, listen in the Spirit on this. If I help you fulfill your dreams, that does not say you're going to help fulfill any of the dreams of the church. And it can, at times, puff people up to say, "Well, the pastor recognizes my gift and he sees my gifting and he's supporting me." No, this isn't about position. This is about the growth of the church. All of our gifts are to be submitted one to another. Notice, one to another. Not just to the pastor, but one to another. I found out over the years, and I'm hesitant to say this because I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but this is true. I can prove it in my own life of how it's worked for me years and years and years. If as a congregational member, you would have it as your goal to bless the church, to find out what needs to be done and try to do it in love, you'll find out not only will the church be blessed, not only will the church be benefited, but you'll find your ministry in the course of it. And your ministry will be released because, see, now you're walking in love because you're using your gift to bless others rather than expecting everybody else to bless and recognize your gift. And that's exactly why there's a lot of gifts in the body of Christ that are not being used today, because everybody thinks, and we talked about this several weeks ago, everybody thinks it's all about them. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about us working as one to fulfill the kingdom of God, to do His will, His work in the earth. When I started going to church, I'd just been saved, just got out of college, just really was getting fired up for the Lord, and they came to me and said, "Well, Gordon, would you like to be a Sunday school superintendent?" I said, "I never even gave it a thought. I don't really feel like that's my calling." I'd had no clue what a calling was, but I didn't really want to do that. And they said, "Well, we feel like you can do this." And I said, "Well, if you think I can do it, I'll do it." And I did it. And pretty soon, a friend of mine came along and said, "Gordon, I'm going to start a youth group in the church. Would you like to help me with the youth group?" I said, "I don't want to work with youth. Quite frankly, I didn't like me much when I was a youth. So why would I want to work with youth? These snotty-nosed little kids. I know I don't want to work with youth." But I said yes. And 2 months into the class, he left the church. So I'm now the youth leader. And then I became, because it was a yoke parish, I became youth leader at both churches. They came to me and says, "Gordon, we want to start a choir." I said, "Great, go ahead." They said, "We want you to be the choir leader." Excuse me? Do you know I can't do that? I can't carry a beat? Joe will tell you that. I can't carry a beat. That's why she beats the tambourine back there to keep me on focus here. It's like, man, without that tambourine, I'm just kind of lost. You know, the old saying, white men can't clap. It's like, it's true. I can't keep time in a bucket. But it's like, but they started asking me to do things. And pretty soon they said, "Would you like to be on the church board?" I said, "I don't know anything about being on the church board. I don't want to be on the church board." "Well, Gordon, we think you can do this." "Well, if you think I can do it." See, I was being elevated in the church. And when the call of God came on me to pastor, when I went to my pastor and tell him, "I believe God's calling me into the ministry," he says, "Gordon, everybody in church has been wondering when you would realize this." I was the last one to find out. Everybody knew it. Now, why did they know? How did they know I was called into the ministry? Because I was willing to serve the needs of others. I wasn't trying to promote myself. I wasn't saying, "Woo, look at me. I'm probably the greatest Sunday school superintendent you've ever had." I had no clue what was going on most of the time. But, and choir director? Oh, golly. I went to the library and got a book on how to count time. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 6, 8 time still gets me. I can do 3 time. 3, 4, 4, 4. Anything else just, oh, glory be to God that I can survive this song. And we were singing at then Bill and Gloria Gaither's songs, which were really, really contemporary at the time, you know. And they were wild songs. And all this. But see, I was willing to serve others. I was willing to become a servant. And so when I got promoted by God, everybody else was waiting. When are you going to figure this out? I'll never forget when I told Debbie's mother. It was after church, and she had the bowl of potatoes under her arm, and she's whipping up the mashed potatoes. I said, "Dana, I feel like God's calling me into the ministry." She never missed a beat. She's just whipping her well, Gordon, everybody's, she's reaching and putting other stuff in the potatoes, the butter and stuff. She said, "We were all trying to figure out when it was you would realize this." I mean, never, I thought people would be shocked. "Gordon, God's calling you into the ministry?" I thought they'd be as shocked as I was, because I didn't want to go. I fought with God. You got to be kidding me. And that gets into another whole story. But I didn't want to go into ministry. It wasn't my choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't my choosing. I wasn't out to get a church. I wasn't out to do a performance or to do anything like that. I was just willing to serve. Do you know who God's calling for to raise up and put in positions of leadership? Servants. How do you learn how to serve? You learn how to love. You learn how to meet the needs of other people. Whether you think it's important or not, whether it's crucial to you or not, is not the issue. The issue is it ministers to others. And that's what ministry is. Learning how to minister to others. And I'm out of time. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up. Did you get something out of this? We're talking about how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. This is real stuff. We need to get this. It's not that we're doing it to get elevated, but if you serve, God will elevate you. He will put you in positions and open doors for you that you never thought possible or may not have even thought about at all. But it's just because you were willing to give your heart to the Lord. Isn't God good? He is so good. Father God, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you're in our life. We thank you, God, that we've given our hearts to you. But God, we thank you that you've given your heart to us. Lord, I pray that you will give us hearts of servants, hearts of people that put ourselves aside and work to serve your kingdom and work to elevate you, God. And Lord, we give you all the praise for this because, Lord, it is all about you and not about us. Lord, if we do what we're required to do, all we can say is we just did what was necessary. But God, Jesus did what was not necessary. He came and gave his life for us that we would have new life in him. And for this, God, we give you praise and we give you honor this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. God bless you.